The text or motto for the church this year is looking to Jesus, and we've heard some thoughts on that recently from various people. So this morning, I thought it would be good to look at a few people who looked to Jesus. In fact, they looked at him in the flesh. Okay? But they looked to Jesus for other things other than just wanting to look at him. You know, there are so many people recorded in the scripture who saw Jesus and interacted with him that we could spend all day looking at them. But I've got a few people who come to mind for different reasons. And there's one passage that God laid on my heart some time ago. I don't know why, but he did. So we'll look at those in a minute. But first of all, I'm going to change my running order of the people who I wanted to look at this morning. A few weeks ago, Michael Wilcott mentioned CSSM choruses. Were you here then? Yes. Well, I've got one from my childhood. I'm sure many of you will know it. I'm not going to sing. I'll just say the first few lines. Now, Zacchaeus was a very little man indeed. He climbed up to the sycamore tree. Yeah, he wanted to see. Okay, that's great. Thank you. It's good to know that I'm not the only one that knows that one. And we tend to think of that as being a children's story, but it's anything but. We find the story in Luke in chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Fighter verse, wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were the most hated people around, really. You see, with the Roman occupation, the tax collectors collected taxes for the emperor, collected taxes for Caesar. And the thing was, provided Caesar got his rightful share of the taxes, tax collectors basically demanded what they wanted, and pocketed the rest for themselves. They were like the people in the fighter verse. They were chasing after treasures on earth. So Zacchaeus was not very well liked. He cheated people. At least HM Revenue and Customs occasionally send you a check and say you've paid too much tax. Not with Zacchaeus. He kept everything. So he wanted to see Jesus. It doesn't say why he wanted to see Jesus, but he was keen to see what this Jesus was all about. But because he was short, he was like this. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? Have you ever been standing behind somebody tall like that and you can't see? No. Well, he decided, if everybody stood behind Michael Wilcock, then you know what we're talking about. You stand behind my brother. Yeah, you can't see a thing. So he ran ahead of where the crowd was going and climbed into the tree. He was just curious to see Jesus. So imagine his surprise when Jesus comes to the tree and stops and says, "Come down, I'm coming to your house for tea." Wow. Wonder what he was really thinking. I'm in for it now. The crowd said Jesus had gone to the house of a sinner, and tax collectors were seen to be the worst sinners of all. Because we tend to think of sin on a sliding scale, don't we? From the likes of Pol Pot and Adolf Hitler to the other end, Mother Teresa, you know, and sort of, well, I'm somewhere in the middle, I'm okay. No, Zacchaeus was, he was right down there, and they're thinking. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner, and he looked at Jesus and he repented of his sins. He came to Jesus and repented of his sins. What did Jesus say? Salvation has come to this house. So the first thing I wanted just to think about, are you like Zacchaeus, looking around, interested? You've heard of Jesus, but don't know too much? Or maybe you know you're a sinner in need of repentance. If you're in like that, look to Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Saviour, as Zacchaeus did that day. It changed his life. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount. Wow. Now, when I've overpaid my tax, HM and Revenue come back and if I've overpaid £10, they say, there's £10 you've overpaid, not here's £40. If only he gave back 4 times the amount and he gave away half of his possessions. Completely changed man. If you turn to Christ, he will change your outlook. You may not end up giving away possessions and so on as Zacchaeus did, but you'll have a changed life and you'll have eternal life to come. So that's the first person I want to think about today. Now, the next one, we're going to turn back from Luke chapter 19 to Luke chapter 8. So if you've got your Bibles with you, whether that be analog or digital, see me later if you don't understand that one. And it's Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 40. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. Again, very well-known passage from the Bible. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then, a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This was the passage that's just been on my mind for weeks. It's the intertwined story of two people who were desperate. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, with a daughter who was sick, so very sick, she was dying. For those of you who are parents, who have had children, particularly when they're little, you know what it is when your child is ill. You can take them to the doctor, you can give them Calpol, you can give them antibiotics, but seeing them so ill, you can feel completely helpless. All you can do is make sure they rest and take their medicine. So imagine if you're Jairus. You've seen your daughter become ill. Maybe it started with a few mild symptoms, but over time those symptoms got worse. And despite the skills of the doctors and all the treatments available at the time, nothing happened. Nothing made her better. Jairus had tried every cure, probably all the conventional ones, and maybe a few of those snake oil kind of ones. These days, you'd probably see them as what they call clickbait. This one step will help you with this particular health problem. Yeah? And at the end, it's absolutely nothing, just useless stuff. He probably tried all of those. His daughter was dying. So in desperation, he turns to Jesus, falls at his feet, and begs him to come and heal his daughter. Jesus is his last hope. So Jesus sets out to Jairus' house. Jesus took compassion on Jairus. So they're on their way when suddenly there's a disturbance and Jesus stops. Somebody's touched his cloak and power has gone from him. The disciples just say to Jesus, when he said, who was that? Who touched me? Well, come on, Jesus. You know, you're in a crowd. Everybody's jostling you. Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants to touch you. You know, if you've ever been in a big crowd at a concert or a sporting event, and it's the end of the event, and then you all get funneled out through these really tiny doors, and you're all like this, you know what it's like. People barge you, touch you, not intentionally, but it's just the way it is. That's what they're saying to Jesus. Come on, who touched you? You've got to be joking. But Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. The lady who had been sick for 12 years, she was probably like Jairus, had tried all the doctors, all the cures, and nothing was happening. She was in agony. She was healed the minute she touched Jesus. The minute she looked to him, she was healed. While this is going on, can you imagine Jairus? Come on, my daughter's dying. Come on, you know, come on, Jesus, get on with it. You know, this is more important. She's still living. You know, you've cured her. Can we get on? He must have been beside himself. And then he sees a face coming towards him. And it fills him with utter dread. Somebody from his household or a friend to say, I'm sorry, sir, your daughter's dead. You might as well, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. She's dead. Imagine the anguish going through Jairus. If only that woman hadn't stopped Jesus and we've had that commotion, he might have just got there just in time to heal her. But Jesus is having none of that. Just says, believe in me, trust me, come on, let's go. And you know the story. Jesus went in and raised the little girl from the dead. Two people who looked to Jesus. Jairus, we don't know this other woman's name, but that doesn't matter. They turned to Jesus in their hour of need. And I wonder about us today. Have you run out of hope with the world's remedies for whatever situation you find yourself in? doesn't have to be sickness as it was in these two cases, could be anything. Have you run out of hope? Has the world failed you? Turn to Jesus, because that is the best thing you can do. That is the best thing you can do. Bring it to Jesus. Did he turn Jairus away once he'd heard the child was dead? No. Believe in me. The woman was healed immediately. He took compassion on them both. And you'll find that throughout all the Gospels. The many people who came to Jesus, he had compassion on them and spoke into their needs and their situations. The last two people I want to consider are people who looked at Jesus, but Jesus made no response. Right at the very start of his life, Luke chapter 2, and starting from verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Two people who saw Jesus when he was about 30 days old. The time of purification, if you read in Leviticus, and I'll try and find, I did put down the reference in my notes, somewhere in Leviticus it says when a woman gives birth to a child, if it's a son, 30 days, and then she presents herself at the temple. So that is the time period we're talking about here. So I think it's a bit misleading where it says on the eighth day he was circumcised, and then the time of purification. They seem to insist it's the same, but it's purification of the woman is 30 days. But whatever, he was a little baby. And we have these two people who saw him in the temple, Simeon and Anna. Both devout, God-fearing people. Anna, it says, basically was in the temple 24/7, worshipping and praising God. But I want to consider for Anna, what was her reaction to seeing Jesus? First of all, she gave thanks to God for the birth of the Saviour. And then she spoke about Jesus to everybody who was there, who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She was basically giving the gospel to everybody who was there, yeah? That is what Anna was doing. She thanked God for what she had seen, and then she gave the message out to everybody who would listen, who was there at that moment in time. It was fantastic news, wasn't it, seeing Jesus? She understood the importance of Jesus as Saviour, and she looked at him and recognised him for who he was, and then she told everybody about it. The Bible doesn't say any more than that particular day, but I wonder for the rest of her days, did she then continue to tell everybody who would listen, I've seen the Saviour? Yeah? What about you? If you're a Christian, are you telling other people the wonderful news about Jesus? Or is it just something we all talk about on a Sunday morning or another meeting that we might have in the church and forget about it the rest of the time? Are we just Sunday Christians? Or are we like Anna, who every day was giving the gospel to those that would listen? That's what we're commanded to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And finally, I want to come to Simeon. Simeon was an equally devout man. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was looking for the Saviour. He was looking for the Messiah to come. What was even better for Simeon was the Holy Spirit had told him, you will not die until you have seen the Saviour. Interestingly, the Bible doesn't say how old Simeon was. He was probably an old man, because it says, he himself says, now dismiss your servant in peace. But he may not have been an old man. He may have been quite young. But the important thing was, it doesn't matter how old he was, the important thing was, every day he was looking for the Saviour. He was looking for the Messiah to come. And once he had seen the Messiah, he was satisfied. He had seen everything he needed to see. The only thing he needed to see was Jesus. I wonder if we don't know whether the Holy Spirit told him, you will see the child, or whether he thought he was going to see a grown man. But he recognized Jesus as soon as he saw him for who he was. But the thing I want to pick up on about Simeon was he was looking every day for Jesus. Jesus has been. He's coming back. Are you looking for Jesus to come back? Are you looking forward to his return? Are you doing that? You know, you look around what's happening in the world, with measure it against what's in the scriptures. There will be wars and rumours of wars. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. There was an earthquake earlier on this year in Warsaw, of all places. Believe it or not, not an area of the world renowned for earthquakes, but what the scripture says, famines, plagues, we've seen all of that. There are things happening that you may have heard about, the Great Reset. Look that one up. You will own nothing, but you will be happy. You will have a digital ID. There will be no more cash. These things are beginning to happen. We are approaching the time, as far as we can tell from what's here, unless the Lord tarries. We're getting close to the time of Christ's return. Don't be ignorant of the signs that are around you. What I've just said, none of that is from conspiracy websites. That is stuff that's just generally available, you can find. Be like Simeon, be aware of the signs of the times, and also look every day for Jesus' return. A very devout, godly man, and he wasn't disappointed. And you won't be disappointed if you're looking for Jesus every day. Shall we pray?